Okay, today's daf is daf Chaf Hei, page 25. Let's start a line or two from the very, it's three and a half lines, from the very bottom of Chaf Dalim and Beis. We've been learning that there is a linkage, that in any situation where you have both the word Kohen and Yad, that certainly would link you to the laws of Mitzorah, of the purification of the leper, and say just as over there it had to be with the right, so too here where it has Kohen and Yad, it has to be with the right. And we said maybe even if you only have one of those things. Then the Gemara says, Elahadza Amar Rava, this that Rava said, that there is a whole extra pasuk in regards to Mitzorah. It says, Umiyeser Hashemen, Yitena Kohen, Umiyeser Hashemen, Asher al-Kapo, Yitena Kohen, Al-Tnuch Ozen Amitahir Yemanis, Val-Bohen Yado Yemanis, Val-Bohen Raglo Yemanis, Al-Dam Ha-Hashem. So why does it keep stressing the right? So Rava said like this, that extra pasuk is to say, Yad Yad L'Kmitza, just like in the Mitzorah, that has to be the right hand. So too, when the Kohen takes the fistful of flour out of the mincha, he has to do it with his right hand. Just like the Mitzorah, it's on his right leg. Regel, regel, it's to create a gzeirah shava, that in chalitza, where the shoe is removed from the woman, who the sister-in-law, who doesn't want to marry her brother-in-law, it has to be done on the right foot. Ozen, ozen, the reason why it said the word ear is to say that when an eved, a slave who really should only be serving for 6 years, says, I want to continue with my master beyond the 6 years and his ear has to be punctured, it has to be the right ear, liritzia. So now the Gemara asks, Lamali, so why do I need this pasuk to learn kmitza from a gzeira shava yad yad? Midirabba bar bar chana nafka. We can already learn it from Rabba bar bar chana, because in regards to kmitza, it says v'kamatz ha-kohen. So once it says kohen, we know it has to be the right. So the Gemara answers chad l'komitz. One source is that the fistful has to be with the right hand. V'chad l'kiddush komitz. And one is for a second law, that the fistful of flour has to be put into a holy vessel. That holy vessel has to be held by the right hand. So that's the second one, that the fistful is taken by the right hand and the vessel it's put into is being held in the right hand. That it's being consecrated by being put into a holy vessel, so the consecration is part of its service. That has to be in the right hand too. So Marcia, 1 second. Ulu Rabbi Shimon, but according to Rabbi Shimon, the lo ba'i kudish komitz, he doesn't even believe that the fistful of flour has to be put into a vessel. He says you can take the fistful of flour directly up to the altar. And Laman Damar, according to the opinion later in Menachos, who says that Rabbi Shimon, Nami Boy Kiddush Komitz, Rabbi Shimon does require that the fistful of flour be put into a consecrated vessel. But B'smolach Shui, but he actually allows you to do it in a left hand. You can hold the vessel in the left hand. B'smolach Shui Machshir. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, Yad Yad Rav Alamali. Why does Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon going to learn from the Gzeira Shava, that it says the word Yad in regards to Mitzorah? Now you'll say, so there it's the right, so therefore the hand in regards to Menachos, meal offerings is also the right. What do I need it for? Ilik Mitza, Atzma, if for the very taking of the fistful, that has to be with the right. Midir Behuda Rabbi Chia Nafka, that we can already learn out from Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chia. Tam Rabbi Yehuda, bread Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Chia, explained, my time to Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon, who says that the fistful has to be done by right, but the vessel can be held in the left? Tam Rakha, because the pasuk says about the mincha, Kodesh Kadashim Hi, the mincha is holiest of holies. Kachatas v'ka asham. It's like the chatas and it's like the asham. So why compare it both to the chatas and the asham? It's to say like this, Balov the biyad, if he's taking the fistful, those services that are by hand, let's say taking the fistful, ov the biyamin kachatas, that has to be done by the right hand, like the chatas, whose service is done by the right. Balov the bikli, but if he's doing service in a vessel, let's say putting it into the vessel, and then throwing it from the vessel, so the vessel, ov the besmol ka asham, that can be done with the left hand, just like the asham, can be done with the left, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you can throw the blood from the left hand. So therefore, why does Rabbi Shimon have this gzera shav? What's he going to do with this words yad yad? So my answer is, lo nitzercha el lekometz minchas chote. We know that if somebody swore falsely, or if he enters the temple while impure, so then there's the sliding scale carbon. If he can afford it, he should bring a sheep, and if he can't, he can bring a flower offering. So that flower offering is called the mincha of the sinner. So this is to say that the mincha of the sinner has to be done with the right hand. The service of taking the flower from the mincha of the sinner has to be done by the right hand of the Kohen. And that I learned from the Gzeira Shava, Yad Yad. It says the word Yad, it says hand in regards to Mitzor, and there it says Yad Yamin, it says the right hand, and it says Yad in regards to the Kmitza, to the taking of the flower for the Mincha Tchote, the sinner's flower offering. So why would I think this should be any different from any other flower offering? The answer is like this. Al-Kadai Dachamina would have thought to say, Ho, Vam Reb Shimon Shloye Karbana Muhuta. Reb Shimon asks the following question. Why is it that the flower offering of a sinner is not accompanied with oil and with spices, shemen and lavona? So he asked, because he's a sinner, he should get away and not have to spend as much money, not have to spend money on the oil and the lavona. Hashem should have said he's a sinner. He has to spend money on the oil and the lavona. So the answer is, the reason why he doesn't have to spend money on the oil and lavona is because oil and the spices on an offering make it look special, make it look honorable. He's a sinner. A sinner shouldn't be bringing an honorable sacrifice. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Oh, but Rabbi Shimon, since Rabbi Shimon says, Shlo yehei karbana muhudar, that the sinner's offering should not be beautiful, so then I might say, ki kamatz le b'smol namik tiskar, tiskashus. Then maybe if he takes a fistful with his left hand, it should also work, because that's a sign of it not being so honorable. That's why Kamash Malan, that's where Rabbi Shimon needs a Gzeira Shava, Yad Yad, to say that it has to be by right. But in terms of a regular mincha, he doesn't need Yad Yad to tell me that it has to be done with the right hand. A regular mincha, he knows from a pasuk about mincha, where the pasuk says, Kodesh Kadashim Hika Chatas Vika Asham, that it's holiest of holies, like the Chatas and the Asham, to say that if it's done, if the service is done by hand, it has to be done like the Chatas, it has to be done with the right. That's where Rabbi Shimon's source.
What does like the Asham mean, then?
If it's done with a vessel, it can be done with the left.
Oh, if it's done with a vessel, that's when it's...
Yeah.
What does that mean? That means just...
Throwing of the flour into the fire from a vessel can be done with the left.
So, he's picking up the flour from the right, and he's holding the vessel, and he just pour it in there.
According to Rabbi Shimon, that's right. According to Rabbi Shimon, but according...
He has to put the vessel down, and then...
Or another coin. Maybe another coin stands with the vessel. He drops it into the vessel, and another coin is holding with his right hand.
The same thing goes with the blood too. Blood is
blood has to be with the right hand. We've learned, yes.
Mm-hmm. But I thought the anis, they don't have to go get oil, olive oil, and
right.
just a little simple.
Exactly.
Flour, right.
Right. So yeah. We were saying, but why? Why should they get away with? They did a sin. It's an offering for a sin, so they should certainly have to spend the same amount as anybody else. The answer is that we would want them to spend, but because this is a spending that creates added honor, and we don't want this to be an honored sacrifice, that's why they don't spend on this. All right, thank God. Baruch Hashem, this is a very special milestone. Now we finished the first Mishnah.
Now we're ready
in
for
this,
to practice.
In this parak. So this took us a good... Yeah, a week. It took us a week, yeah. It was about 5 months or so that we started the parak. Yeah, maybe more. All right, now the next Mishnah. So the first Mishnah taught us about all 10 different types of disqualified priests who, if they catch the blood, they ruin the sacrifice. So now we're going to learn another law about the catching of the blood. The law that we're going to learn is that the blood has to go directly from the neck of the animal that's slaughtered into the holy vessel, the kli sharis. It's called the mazrek. That's the type of vessel with which is used to catch the blood. And it can't go from the neck of the animal to the floor and then be picked up from the floor into the vessel. So that's a key point, that the blood has to go directly from the neck into the vessel. Now, because of this, we're going to get into some of the other details about this law. We're going to learn that there's actually multiple bloods coming out of the animal when it's slaughtered. There's the initial blood, which the Gemara calls the blood of the skin, that the Kohen doesn't need to catch. Then there's blood after the blood that we are looking for. That's called Dam HaTamtzit. He also doesn't need that. What he needs is the blood that has the life in it. The blood with all the life of the animal, he has to catch all of it in the vessel, and he has to bring all of it to the altar to be poured on the altar.
So if the blood pours on the floor, it goes out of life. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
If the blood went from the animal directly to the floor, and then he's scooping from the floor into the vessel, then that's disqualified. That's no good. When we're talking about life, we're talking about which blood from the animal should he catch. The initial blood, the last blood. No, so it's actually the middle blood. It's the blood with all the life in it that shoots out. That's the life of the animal. That's its death. That's what he needs to catch. He has to catch all of that.
I thought the floor was kadosh, Rabbi.
That's good. It's a good point. The floor is kadosh. But even though the floor is kadosh, this Mishnah teaches us there's a special pasuk that the blood has to go directly from the neck of the animal into the vessel. It can't go from the neck of the animal to the floor, and then from the floor into the vessel. Let's learn the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches us, Nishbach hadam al haritzpa. If the blood spilled from the neck of the animal to the floor, and then vasafo, then he gathered it from the floor, pasul. That's a disqualified karban. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa some of the laws of the catching of the blood. The verse says, "V'lakacha kohen ha-mashiach midam apar ve'vi oso el ol mo'ed." And the kohen who's anointed will take from the blood of the bull and bring it to the tent of meeting. So it says, "Midam hapar," from the blood of the bull, which means midam ha-nefesh. He has to take the blood that has the life. V'lo midam ha'or, he doesn't take the blood of the skin. V'lo midam ha-tamtzis, nor the blood after the blood of life came out, which is just dribbling out. Another lesson. Midam ha-par, he takes blood from the bull. Dam me-ha-par yekablenu. If the blood is coming from the neck of the bull, that's the blood he should catch. But if it went from the neck of the bull onto the floor, that's not blood he should catch. Now, it's all a very strange way of reading this pasuk, because a normal way to read a pasuk which says midam hapar would mean from the blood of the cow. Not all of the blood, but from the blood. But that's not what it means. If you would say it means from the blood of the cow, kedichsev midam, because it says from the blood, which normally would mean afilu miktsastam, even a little bit of the blood is enough. That can't be so. Because Amar Rav, because didn't Rav say, hashochet, the one who slaughters, tzarech sheyekabel es kol damo shel par. He has to get all the blood of the bull into his basin. Shenamar, because the verse says in terms of the leftovers, ves kol damo yishpoch, and all of his blood he should pour on the foundation of the altar. How can you pour all the blood? How can you pour all the blood? Some of the blood was already put. It's the leftovers of the blood. You already gave some of the blood onto the corners. The leftovers are poured onto the bottom. How could the leftovers be called all the blood? So it must be when it says all the blood, it's not referring to the pouring of the leftovers. All the blood is referring to the initial catching. You initially caught all the blood. So therefore, so what does it mean when it says midam hapar, from the blood of the cow? It actually is dam mehapar. You have to take the letter mem and move it over. Instead of midam hapar, from the blood of the bull, it should be read as v'lakacha kohen ha-mashiach dam mehapar. Take the mem away from this letter and move it to the next word. Because, however, this is the approach called gor inu mosifin v'dorshin. Sometimes we can scratch a letter off one word, add it to the second, and then make a drasha from it. So that's what the price is saying. Since the verse says, v'lakacha kohen, midam hapar, and the verse also says, v'shafach, uh, It also says another verse, Ves kol damo yishpoch, and all of its blood he should pour. Ves kol dama par yishpoch, el yisod mizbach ha'olah. So it can't, you know, the words can't be taken literally. You can't say that he has to catch some of the blood. You can't say he's pouring all of the blood, because the leftovers are not all of the blood. He already gave some of it. You can't say he's catching some of the blood, because it says he's got to have all of the blood with him to pour it. So it must be, you have to take a letter off, move it to the next word, and read it like this. He will take blood from the par. So he can't take blood that went from the par onto the floor, because that's not blood from the par. He has to take blood directly from the par. How much blood? He has to get all of the blood. And which blood? It's the blood of the par, the blood of life.
Why you need all the blood for it? You need a few sprinklers of
No,
blood,
apparently right? not. Hashem wants him to catch all the blood.
It's impossible to catch all the blood from the animals when they cut...
All the blood of his life. Yeah, no, you
not
can
easy,
catch
Rabbi. It. Laying down, how do they catch it? Unless,
because we're going to see that they slaughter the neck.
Right.
Can I borrow your cup for a second? They slaughter the neck when the neck is right over.
So they put the utensil right underneath it.
They have the neck right over the vessel, and they slaughter, and then they catch.
I bet you any money they cannot catch 100% of them.
They did. They caught 100%.
There was no smell either.
It's a big basin. It's bigger than the sheikh's neck.
That's right.
Have you ever seen the sheikh?
Yes, I'll bring you the
blood. The blood just flows out like crazy. And split all
it is.
Over.
It's a big basin. That's true. Well, this is going to be the discussion today. It's the blood of the life that they catch.
The first couple of drops that they pull on the ground, you know, catch.
Correct, because that's the blood of the skin. The blood of the life is what the Kohen catches.
What's the main artery?
Exactly. The main artery blood's got to all go into the basin.
The first time they mess it up, after that they get it right.
Practice makes perfect. Serial killers.
We can't scoop it. That's the point. You can't scoop it from the floor. You can't scoop it off from the floor. Goofa, we just learned. I'm Rav Yehuda, my Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav Ashochet, the one who slaughters the, or whenever an animal is slaughtered for a sacrifice, Tzarech Sheyekabel is called Damo Shel Par. He has to catch all of the blood of the bull. Shenamar, because the verse says, Ves Kol Dama Par Yishpoch. So he's going to, and he has to pour all of the blood of the bull. That's impossible, because that verse is already referring to the leftovers of the blood after he already gave some of the blood on the corners. So what does it mean there, all the blood? It can't be referring to the leftovers, because that's not all of the blood. So tneu inyan bekabalas. When it says all of the blood, it's referring to catching. Catching has to be of all of the blood. Okay. So now another law. It has to be all of the blood of life of this cow, or of this sheep, or of this goat. It can't be a mixture of bloods. I'm Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Ashochet, when the animal's neck is slit, so Tzarech Sheyagbia Sakin Lamala, right away he has to pull away the knife away from where he has the basin. Shenamar, because the verse says, V'lokach Midam Apar. He should take from the blood of the bull. That's to say, not from the bull and something else. It has to be the blood of the bull, not the blood and something else. The knife is already something else. So now the Gemara asks, "Dam sakin b'mayim mekanechle." So how does he clean off the knife? How does he get the blood off? So Amar Abaya says, "Besfas mizrik on the edge." On the rim of the basin.
Why does it do that? It can't go in the
Mizrak on the edge of the basin. So it's on the outside edge. On the outer on this part. The outer part is where he cleans off the knife. Then another drop should go inside the basin.
And he can't use like a napkin because it's supposed to be going to a klishars of some sort, is that the idea?
They didn't have napkins. This is the Beis HaMikdash. Kiduchsiv, that's what the pasuk says, Kipurei Zahav. That the basins are what are cleaners of gold. Kippur means to clean something away. They would clean away the blood. These golden vessels would clean away the blood.
Yeah, That sharp edges, I guess, right?
That sharp edges to the basins. Now, we are on the very bottom of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, the last line. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. Rav Chisda taught in the name of Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba. Hashochet, when the Kohen is about to slaughter the animal, the korban, Tzarech Sheyitein, now turning to Chaf Hei Amud Beis, Tzarech Sheyitein Ridin L'Toch HaKli. He has to put the jugular vein into the basin. So that's not really possible. You can't put the jugular vein into the basin. So what it means is that the vein has to be directly over the inside of the basin, over the airspace. So that once the neck is slit, the blood coming up on that vein is going to pour out. It's going to be caught right into the basin. So it's going to fly over the airspace of the basin and then into the basin.
It comes at 800 miles an hour, that blood.
Do we have any good pictures in the Gemaros of this?
No, I saw
last night I went to Daf HaChaim. Daf HaChaim, they have some nice pictures of the
glory
of the neck of the animal right over the basin and the blood coming out of the neck about to fall into the basin. Itmar Nami, we also learned. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yochanan, Vridin, the veins, Tzarech Shiyiru Avir Kli. They need to see the airspace of the vessel. In other words, that at the time of the slaughtering, they are exactly parallel, right, to the vessel, so that the blood would go right from them to the airspace over the vessel and then down into the vessel. So, Ba'iminei Rav Asi Mirab Yochanan. Rav Asi asked the following thought experiment of Rav Yochanan. Hayamakava, let's say you did that. You put the animal throat over the vessel, and you're about to slaughter the animal. And then you slaughter the animal, and I don't know how this would happen, but the bottom of the vessel suddenly disappeared. It suddenly broke off, it disintegrated, now there's a hole in the bottom of the vessel. So the blood has never actually entered into the vessel, but it had been in the airspace over the inside of the vessel. So now, Haya Makaba, let's say he's catching the blood. V'nifchasu shulei amnizrak ad shlo higi adam la'avir. And before the blood gets into the airspace of the vessel, the bottom of the vessel just falls away. So Mahu, what's the halacha? Do we say Avir Shein Sofa Lanuach Kemunach Dami? Even though the blood was never in a vessel, right, in a receiving vessel, a vessel that can hold it, since it was blood in the airspace, so maybe blood in the airspace is already considered received by the vessel. Oh, or maybe, since the bottom of the vessel is going to open off, and at that point the blood's not going to be received, lo kemunach dami, it never was received, and it's blood that went from the neck of the animal directly to the floor. So in other words, you had a vessel, the animal was over the vessel, the animal was slaughtered, the blood popped out of the throat of the animal. It was in this airspace over the vessel. And then, before it could fall into the walls of the vessel, the bottom of the vessel fell off. So now our question is, when we say that you need to slaughter an animal in such a way that the blood's going to go directly from the animal to the vessel, so the animal's got to be slaughtered here, So when that blood is in the airspace on its way to the vessel, is that already enough to be considered in the vessel? So then we would say that this is blood that was received by a vessel, then goes from a vessel to the floor, and you can take it. Or do we say, no, blood in the airspace over the vessel is not yet in the vessel. It's got to be in the walls of the vessel to be in the vessel. But by the time it got to the vessel was no longer a vessel anymore because the bottom had fallen off. Then that means this is blood that was never received by a vessel. This is blood that went directly from the animal to the floor. And you can't scoop it up anymore. So that's our question. What's the status of this law of the blood in the airspace above the vessel, not in the airspace of the vessel? Is the blood in the airspace above the vessel already considered in the vessel? Or is it not yet considered in the vessel? With the ramification being, if it then goes to the floor, is it blood that had gone from the vessel to the floor, or blood that went directly from the animal's neck to the floor? If it goes directly from the animal's neck to the floor, that's the point of our Mishnah. It's no good.
But didn't we learn that walls are considered all the way up?
Okay, that's wall. That's very good. That's wall. It's good. Good thinking. That's walls in regards to sukkah, walls in regards to Shabbos. Would that apply to a vessel? Not necessarily.
Sukkah doesn't have a bottom also. Vessel is to catch something. It's not catching it.
No longer.
But at the time that it was over the airspace of the vessel, it had a floor. It fell out later.
Like Roger said, if you say
the didn't catch.
So if it broke also, it fell down.
But we like the conceptual realities. We like the spiritual realities. We're not just about what our hands touch.
So the vessel here is not the vessel of collection. It's a vessel of like a pipe, you know.
Okay.
Blood goes through.
It became a pipe, but it didn't start off as a pipe.
Right.
Amar Lei, Rav Yochanan said to Rav Asi, who had this question, Tini Sua, we learned it in a Mishnah in regard to Paraduma. So it's great that we have Josh and Medina here, because this Gemara is a key source for how to construct a mikvah. This Gemara is the source that the waters of a mikvah have to come into the mikvah through plastic. Because the Gemara is going to teach that whenever we have waters that purify, like waters of a mikvah, or the waters that get mixed with the ashes of Paraduma, the spring water of the Paraduma, it cannot be brought to us through something disqualified. So even a metal pipe would be no good because metal is disqualifying. So even if it's a metal pipe, even without a receptacle, would be no good. That's why we have to have plastic, we have to have earthenware back in the day. So this is our source. So again, we're dealing with this question. When you have a liquid suspended over a vessel, is that already considered in the vessel? If it's considered in the vessel, if the vessel's bottom then falls out, we're still okay, because the liquid already was in the vessel. But if we say that the liquid suspended over the vessel is not yet in the vessel, so if the bottom fell out, so then this blood is not going to be considered blood that had been received in a vessel. It'll be considered blood that went directly from the animal to the floor.
What is the material of the vessel? Right?
Gold. We just said gold.
And the gold the bottom fall down?
Amazing, right? I don't know how.
Must be a Satan over there somewhere.
I don't know.
You know, it's impossible.
I'm shocked on the
Bivara. Gold leaking.
The bottom of the gold vessel fell out.
Chinese gold.
Sure,
probably
gold.
Maybe China.
It's gold.
Okay.
Chinese gold.
Inferior. Yeah, right. Okay.
All right. So, Amar Lei Rabbi Yochanan Rav Asi. Rabbi Yochanan says to Rav Asi, Tanisua, we looked at in a Braisa, talking about the holy spring water that's used for Paraduma has to go into a vessel for the sake of Paraduma. If it went into a vessel for other reasons, then it can't then be turned around and used for Paraduma. So what happens when you have chavis, you have a barrel, shemunachas tachas hazinok, which is underneath a pipe. You have a pipe with water flowing from a spring. There's a spring on top of the mountain. There's a pipe leading the water of the spring down. And you put a barrel under this pipe, not for paraduma, you just put a barrel there to catch water. So now, amayim shebetocha, the water that was caught, since it wasn't caught for the sake of paraduma, that water is no good. But not only is that water no good, v'shebechutzala, the water outside of the barrel, over the barrel, up here, is also psulin, is also no good. You have the barrel, you have the pipe ending here, and you have water flowing. This water is no good. Even if you bring another vessel saying, I want to catch that water for Parah Aduma, it's no good. Why is it no good? Because it's in the airspace over a vessel. So that you see our law. That whatever is in the airspace over a vessel is already considered in the vessel. So here it's to disqualify water. Until now we were talking about to make the blood qualified. But you see the same concept that a liquid over a vessel is already considered in the vessel. So if it's already considered in the vessel, that would explain why this water is disqualified. Then the Brisa continues. Tzirev piel azinok. Let's say he lifts the barrel up, all the way up to the pipe. So now the water is not going into any airspace over the barrel. So then, mayim shebesocha psulim. The water that was in the vessel are no good. Those waters are in a vessel that wasn't for the sake of paraduma. But shebechutzula, but the waters that are still in the pipe, so even though they are opposite the airspace of the barrel, are ksherin, because since they're in the pipe, they're not considered in the vessel yet. So what do we see? We see here from this brisa that water is in a vessel if it's literally in the vessel. Water is in the vessel if it's in the airspace over a vessel. But if water is in the pipe, then it's not yet considered connected to this vessel, and then you could still use that water for para aduma. So the Gemara now says, "Hi, Mai. So what's your comparison from this brisa about waters for para aduma to catching blood of a sacrifice?" Our question was about water that's over a vessel. And then the bottom of the vessel fell out. So this, I'm sorry, not water. Our question was about blood that was over the airspace of a vessel. And then after it was over the airspace of the vessel, before it got into the vessel, the bottom of the vessel fell out. So this is a liquid that's never going to come to a rest. Liquid's never going to come to rest. Is just being in the airspace above already considered in the vessel or not? That's an interesting question.
Right.
By the time it's coming into the airspace of the vessel, it's not a vessel. You bring a source from a barrel which has water over it, but the barrel has a base. The barrel is water, the water over the barrel is water going to a place where it's going to come to a rest. So maybe that's considered a vessel, water already received in a vessel. But here it's never going to come to a rest. So the Gemara says, really, Tarti Kabay Mine. Rav Asi had had two questions to Rav Yochanan. His first question was, if the blood is over the vessel, and then before it gets in within the walls of the vessel, the floor of the vessel falls out. Rav Yochanan didn't answer that question. So then he added a second question. If you're going to tell me that blood over a vessel, and by the time the blood is coming down, the vessel doesn't have a floor anymore, so that's not considered blood in a vessel. What about avir shesofel anuach mai? What about blood over a vessel when the vessel does have a floor? And the blood will eventually come to a rest. And that he brought a proof from the laws of Parah Aduma, that is considered waters in the vessel, so it disqualifies Parah Aduma. And in regards to blood, the blood would be considered kosher.
So there are two different things. For blood is different than water. Is that right?
No, we're saying it's the same. It's the same
if
concept.
The bottom falls off.
The bottom falls off is not what we saw. We saw here about where there is a bottom. The barrel has a bottom.
So, but the barrel becomes a pipe now. When there's no bottom there. You know, the water just goes through it.
That's true. But that we haven't brought a proof to. That we haven't proven about because we didn't have a source for that. We have a source for where there is a barrel.
Oh, where is it? Okay.
So now the Gemara has a different version of this discussion. Rav Yosef Masni Hachi. This was Rav Yosef's version of this discussion. But Rav Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana had a different version. Chavis Ba'iminet. Rav Asi asked Rav Yochanan, water from a spring, which is over a barrel, is that considered already in the barrel? And therefore, since the barrel wasn't placed there for the sake of Parah Aduma, the waters are disqualified? Or not? Question was about water over a barrel. And he said, well, there's a brisa, the water gets disqualified. That's Rav Kahana's version. Rabba Masni, Rabba's version, was chavis by mine. The question was about water over a barrel. And he resolved the question of water over a barrel from Mizrak, from blood over a vessel. This is what Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Asi. Don't you agree with blood coming into a vessel? Right? There's no such thing as the blood directly going from the neck straight to the bottom of the vessel. It's not what happens. The blood flows into the airspace. And from the airspace, it rolls to the bottom of the vessel. So, the blood goes first into the airspace of the vessel, and then it rolls from there to the bottom of the vessel. The Torah said the blood should go from the cow into the vessel. So what are you going to say? Since it's going to come to a rest at the bottom of the vessel, it's already considered going directly from the neck to that spot. So the same is true when you have a barrel underneath a flow of water. Since the barrel wasn't placed there for the sake of Paraduma waters, the waters that are going to end and come to a rest in the barrel, even when they're in the air, are considered already in the barrel, and they are disqualified to be used for Para Aduma. Tanan Asam. Now another Mishnah in regards to Para Aduma. We learned in a Mishnah. If you have water flowing from a mountain, water flowing down a mountain, and you have a barrel at the bottom of the mountain, and the water is spilling into this barrel. Nasan yado o raglo. If a man puts his hand or foot under the water, o ale yirakos, or leaves of a vegetable which are edible, and therefore they can become tameh, and he makes like a type of gutter with these leaves, kadeshi yavru mayim, so that the water will be directed into l'chavis, into the barrel that he put there for the sake of Paraduma waters. He puts a barrel at the bottom of the mountain to get waters for Paraduma. He's not happy with how the water is flowing, so he redirects it to the barrel. Sulim, the waters are no good. But ale kanim v'ale egozim, but if he redirects streaming waters to a barrel for Paraduma, with leaves of reeds or leaves of walnuts, which are not edible, and therefore they can't become tamei. Ksherin, the waters are kosher for paraduma. Zeaklal, this is the rule. Davar makabel tuma, if an item which itself could become tamei directed the waters, psulin, the waters are no good. Davar sheinu makabel tuma, if what directed the waters is something which couldn't become tamei, ksherin, the waters could still be good. How do we know this? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Abba. Rabbi Yochanan explained this, a verse about how to make a mikvah. In the name of Rabbi Yosef Abba, Amar Kra, the pasuk says about how to make a mikvah. Ach ma'ayan uvor mikvei mayim yiyeh tahor. But a spring or a cistern which collects water, mikvei mayim, this is where the Torah uses the word mikvah, yiyeh tahor. It has to be created in purity. What makes it, what brings the water to this place, has to be through that which is pure. So that's why what directed the water could be walnut leaves, but it can't be vegetable leaves. Vegetable leaves can become impure. It could be plastic. It can't be metal. Another thing you see from this is that avir kli kikli dami, that once waters are in the airspace over a vessel, it's as if they are already considered in the vessel. Because here, the water is flowing down. Right, because here we're saying that if the waters got to the place through an impure, a matter that could become impure, then it's disqualified. And here it's getting to that place, we're saying through the water. one second, but it's not yet in the vessel. But you see that when it's over the airspace of the vessel, that's already considered in the vessel. So Amale Reb Zera Reb Chia Bar Abba V'Dilma Shoseis. Maybe that's not what's going on here. Maybe what's going on here is that the water is literally dribbling off the hand into the vessel. And that's why it's disqualified, because it's coming from the hand. Amar Leis, Reb Chia Bar Abba said to Reb Zera, Tarda, you fool. They used to talk harshly to each other. How could you do that? Kadeshi Yavru Mayim Luchavitznan. The Mishnah says that the water will move to the barrel, and they didn't go straight from the hands to the barrel. So you see that even though the water just directed the water to over the barrel, that's already considered putting it in the barrel, because once it's over the airspace of the barrel, it's already in the barrel.
How far does that extend? Like if someone those miles away touched the water from the stream, that invalidates it?
Yeah. Am Reb Chia Bar Abba and Reb Yochanan. Reb Chia Bar Abba, sending Reb Yochanan. Me'edusa shel Reb Tzadok Nishnes Mishnah Zu. We learned this. The source for this is the testimony of Reb Tzadok. It's not. We learned in the Mishnah in Adios. Heid Reb Tzadok al Hazochlin. Shekilchan Balia Gozin. That if you have a stream of water on a mountain and you move them over with leaves of walnuts for a vessel, that's there for paraduma water, shank sharon, that is kosher. Zehaya maisa ba'ahalaya. This, in fact, happened in the place Ahalaya. Ba'maisa lefnei chacham shablishka sagazis. And the question came before the sages in the temple. V'yachshiru, and they said this water is kosher for mei chatas.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
What if you're upstream? So he's saying if you're upstream, people are drinking from that stream.
Mm.
Drinking from that stream, and then it's,
yeah, but once the waters go back into the stream, they become kosher again. They are re-kosher. Okay, Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow back with more of the laws of catching the blood from an animal. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zakas Es Yisrael, Afichach Hirba Lehem Torah Mitzvot, Shneimar Adonai Chafetz Laman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yad